Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Pet World Insider, where we take you inside the world of pets, pet products, pet places, and share amazing pet stories. In studio with me, I have a good friend, someone who turned me from fear to fan when it comes to reptiles, our good friend Dan Maleri from DM Exotics. Dan, welcome into the studio.
Thanks, Robert.
It is good to have you here, my friend. Now, the one thing about Dan, folks, is he brings a whole entourage. Most of the time, it's where can they sit? In this case, it's how far back can I sit? Dan likes to bring his friends with him. What'd you bring with you today?
I brought a yellow-tailed Crebo and a yellow-bellied puffing snake.
See, don't we all travel with that kind of company? So for our listeners who haven't experienced what we're experiencing, give them a little descriptor of these two beautiful snakes.
Well, the yellow-tailed Crebo is exactly that. It has a bright yellow tail. It's a non-venomous colubrid snake, and it comes from the northern portion of South America. Not super common in captivity. They grow to pretty large size. They'll eat rodents and other snakes, and they're kind of opportunistic feeders. But one of my favorites. I really enjoy those guys. And then the yellow-bellied puffing snake is also from the same area. Gets a lot longer, spends more of its time off the ground, has a similar diet, visually oriented hunter, and somewhat of an opportunistic feeder. Both are very smart and active, and I just really enjoy working with those guys.
They're really beautiful. Now, the puffer has its name as well because it can puff its body up, right?
Yeah, that is true. It depends kind of on how long they've been in captivity. These snakes are really smart. Basically, because their eyesight is so good, it kind of opens their world up more as opposed to a snake that has poor eyesight and relies on other senses to sort of get some perception of what's going on around it. So these snakes can see. Therefore, they can identify visually with owners and food coming in and maybe what the container that contains the food that comes into the room. And they're really smart. They're so in tune with everything that's going on around them. So yeah, I mean they're really a good time. The puffing snake has the ability to puff its body. It basically inflates its throat or esophagus, and it goes to about the from the bottom jaw all the way to about mid body, and it's pretty impressive threat display. But once the snake has been in captivity for a while, it sort of realizes that, you know, the keeper is not a threat.
Sure.
In most cases, and then they stop giving you that threat display, right. Which it's entertaining, but usually what follows the threat display, if you push it, is a bite.
Right. So we want to avoid that.
Yeah.
Course.
So it's nice when they stop doing that for those reasons, but it is pretty impressive.
Now, the other thing about this snake is that it's got a unique patterning, if you will. It almost looks to me a little bit like it's been stitched.
Yeah. Every scale is keeled. It's like a raised keel. To me, I kind of look at it like the snake has been turned inside out, because it's, if you've ever seen what a normal scale looks like, you know, a lot of times it has like a bony process on the inside.
Sure.
And this snake looks like it's been turned inside out, because every scale has a very solid, hard keeled ridge, but it's on the exterior as opposed to the interior. So that's unique to that animal. There's not a lot of snakes that have that type of scalation.
Now, is this more a medium, expert, beginner? Where are we on the scale of expertise you've got to have to own these two?
I'm going to say probably towards the upper, maybe expert. I mean, you don't have to be an actual expert to keep these.
I don't have to be Dan Mullary.
Right. Okay. But you do have to have a pretty good understanding of what you're doing and some experience with these types of animals. They're different than gopher snakes and ball pythons. It's a whole nother world. It's a lot of fun, but yes, you have to know what you're doing and at least do your homework. And they're not cheap either. So, you know, just the price tag alone is going to remove some of the beginners, sure. You know, from the market, of at least for those.
Sure. And they are big snakes and can grow very large. So they do need a fair amount of space as well.
Yes, definitely. So. And they're very active. So if you do have a really big cage, you're going to get a lot of enjoyment out of that animal because it's going to utilize the whole cage.
Where can people find out more information about you and what you have to offer to the reptile world?
My website is www.dmexotics.com, and I'm also on Facebook, also DM Exotics, and I try to keep everything updated and anything new that I have going on, whether it's a trip or babies or breeding, it's all there.
Dan, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. Always fun to have you in the studio. Thank you for bringing an entourage, and we'll be right back, folks, with more Pet World Insider after these messages.
Life is Pawfect is the new must-have gift book for dog lovers everywhere. This book features more than 55 theme animal portraits from the pawtographer. The pawtographer builds out actual scenes and places dressed dogs in those scenes. The portraits are accompanied by wit and wisdom for pet parents. Life is Pawfect is sure to put a smile on any pet lover's face. Life is Pawfect by the pawtographer is available in bookstores on Amazon.com or directly through thepawtographer.com.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hello, everybody. Robert Semro here with an important question for pet owners. Are you a Pet World Insider? If not, you should be. It's free, and Pet World Insider has a lot of great information for all types of pet owners. We have audio and video segments, as well as a library of great articles from pet experts to help keep you informed about the latest information in the pet world. Visit Pet World Insider online at petworldinsider.com.